forth your spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. We're talking through the ordination vows, the vows that anyone takes to be a ruling elder, teaching elder, or a deacon. Again, ruling elders, teaching elders, deacons. Hands up. Preacher May, put your hand up, dear. Raise your hand. There you go. See? Now we're all ready. We're all present and accounted for. You can see who the ruling elders are in this room. And congratulations, graduate. But she's busy. She's looking. We're to the third vow. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church, as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do, and will you be instructed and led by these confessions as you lead the people of God? We're going to turn to the 24th chapter of Luke. We're going to begin at verse 13. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now on the same day, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, two of his disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days? Don't you know what's going on, buddy? Don't you read the newspaper? Aren't you aware of stuff?" He asked him, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, the news about him, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we had hoped he was the one." That was our hope. "Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and they did not find his body there. They came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see him. And Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary for the Messiah that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself.'" Important parallel. What is their answer when Jesus says, "What's going on? Do you not know the things that are going on?" What things? The things about Jesus of Nazareth. And what is he telling them? The things about Jesus of Nazareth. They're getting their information from the newspaper and not from the source. Hang on to that thought. He interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening. The day is nearly over." So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. They recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening up the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, the Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. And then they told what had happened on the road, how he had been known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is one of the unfortunate facts of the American church that most of us never grow our faith beyond the time we are in high school. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association has had a statistic it's believed, I think, for way too long, and it has promoted way too long, that the moment of decision for serving Jesus comes usually in life between 14 and 18 years old. And what the church has done with that is to focus on 14 to 18-year-olds and to be able then to give them warm and fuzzy and good experiences at 14 to 18, that are happy and balloons fall from the ceiling and good stuff happens and it's a good movie and there's good things and everybody's having a great time. We promote this as a feel-good, happy. And the problem is, once you get past 18, that's when the real fun begins, and I'm using fun sarcastically. Because that's when rejection comes. That's when illness comes. That's when death begins. And a life and a faith that is built this deep cannot survive reality. If Jesus is my friend, my buddy, my pal, I have no idea who I am. I have no idea what waters I'm about to sail on. A life and a faith that is this deep evaporates quickly. It's important to remember that when Jesus is describing the soils, what happens on the seed that falls on shallow ground? Anybody remember? The sun comes out. The reality of drought, the reality of parching, of heat comes, and because it has no depth of soil, it has nowhere to protect itself. And it dies. It's basically what happens to these two on the road. Jesus has said to them from the beginning what they should have known if they had read the scriptures, what they would have known if they had understood who he was. Instead of coming along for the loaves and the fishes and the happy, if they had spent their time digging deep, they would have known that everything has to happen in Jerusalem. The one thing that is necessary and important for everybody who walks with Jesus is to know that you need to know it's all going to happen in Jerusalem. It starts at Mount Zion and moves out from there. But they've had an experience that drives them away, that makes everything unreal. And anybody who has ever been washed by the powerful strength of this world to hurt and destroy knows that the greatest thing that happens when we are faced with grief is that all the promises of God become unbelievable. When we are washed in pain, it is almost impossible to see God Joseph Cardinal Bernardin, who died of pancreatic cancer and wrote a book up to 7 days before he died, said at the end, one of the last entries that he wrote before he died, a simple piece of advice to every believer: you had better learn to pray before you get here, because when you get here, you will not be able to pray. The pain becomes so strong, it is difficult to be able to focus at all. And most of us, brothers and sisters, most of us put off this school to the end. I'll do my homework for Jesus in the last 30 seconds of my life. I'll make it all up. And anyway, he grades on the curve. There's grace. It'll be okay. But the problem for us is no depth of soil. We don't even know what direction to turn. These two walk away from the directions of God. They're walking out of Jerusalem. They're just wandering away. Because the only things that they know about Jesus are the things that other people are saying. They're turning on the TV and they're saying, the TV's saying, is Jesus a historical person? And the TV seems to be saying no. Somebody says Jesus never claimed to be the Son of God. Somebody says Jesus wants your best life yet. He wants you to be happy all the time. And if Jesus is in you, then everything will always go swimmingly for you, and everybody will always be happy around you, and everything will be wonderful. And somebody's saying Jesus is a hypocrite, a judgmental, angry, vengeful person who just wants people to be perfect and then hits them for not being able to be that way. George Barna did an interesting survey of us this last year. Kind of depressing. In the way that basically it starts to demonstrate that what we're actually following is mostly what other people are saying around us. So New Age spirituality that's around us, yeah, that sounds right. You know, there are lots of ways to God, and you know, it's all kind of up there, and none of that really matters. That what Jesus' justice looks like is a lot like what the world says justice looks like. We are doing exactly what these two disciples do. We are trying to navigate our way to God by listening to other people. And there's a problem with that. Because the news, the things about Jesus of Nazareth that these two have heard, they are not the things in the scriptures. Because the things that they've heard are basically, I don't know whether he rose, he only showed up to women. And it's important to understand why these two men walking to Emmaus, this, who knows where it is. And in a lot of ways, that's what they're doing. They're just wandering away to nowhere. They're not going anywhere. They're just wandering away. Where most of our youth end up going, by the way, in their 20s and their 30s. They just wander away. If you ever see a map, do you know what it'll ever say when it tries to identify Emmaus? It will say, Emmaus? Question mark. Because nobody knows where it is. And ultimately, for the story's purpose for Luke, it doesn't matter where it is, because it's not where they're supposed to be. They're just wandering away. Didn't you used to go to church? Yeah, I used to go to church. Didn't you used to believe X, Y? Yeah, I kind of used to believe that. I got out of the habit. I forgot. Trauma forgets. Evil helps us to forget. Suffering helps us to forget. Just effort helps us to forget. But by forgetting, the things of Jesus that we walk away with are lies. These two men think that the only people who've ever seen Jesus alive are women. Women are not reliable testimony. It's not cast on this Mother's Day. I'm not trying to hurt anybody or bring anything up. But the reality of it is, in a patriarchal world, a woman had no right to testify. Her word did not mean anything. And that's why for these two, they say women saw Jesus alive, but no man did, as far as they know. So it can't be true. They want it to be true. They want to believe in their hearts that Jesus rose from the dead, which, by the way, people in the church believe too. You believe that resurrection is in your heart. You believe resurrection is a spiritual thing that you kind of feel. Jesus rose from the dead. Physically rose from the dead. And it is important to understand why that matters. But if you don't know the things about Jesus in the scriptures, you won't know why it matters. They are ignorant of the foundations of their own faith. And because they are ignorant of the foundations of their own faith, when persecution comes, grieving comes, evil comes, what happens to them? They wander away. And the same thing is happening to us. For the same reason. The things we know about Jesus are the stuff we're picking up from television, the stuff we're picking up from people around us, the stuff we're picking up here and there from looking around and reading things. The vow is important because what the vow says is, you're going to learn the real things. Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith? Do you understand that you stand in a line of people going back to Jesus who have lived through all of this stuff before, who've walked faithfully through it before? Do you accept them as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed, which means you have to read them, and led, that means you have to know what they say, by these confessions as you lead the people of God? We want things to be easy. You want the easy road, you're going to end up on the road to Emmaus. You want the easy way to know this, you are going to end up walking to question markville. Where am I going? Why am I going there? I don't really know, and it doesn't really matter. When Jesus shows up, what he does is he picks up the Bible, and from the beginning, he tells them the story. Can you tell the story? And this is not to say, can you do Romans Road? Because Romans Road is a nice version of the story, but it really doesn't give you enough depth and perspective to really understand the story. Why does Jesus die? Why is that necessary? Why does Jesus live? Why is he born? And if your answer is, I don't know, you're pretty close to your destination, Emmaus. Jerusalem is in your rearview mirror, and it's back there somewhere. And you may never have noticed when you left the gate. You may never have noticed when you left the city. Because you didn't know you were supposed to be paying attention to your surroundings at that point. You just thought it was Jesus and you walking. But when Jesus is walking with them, he's opening up the scriptures and he's telling them the things about himself in the scriptures. Not the things that the TV says, not the things that the Jesus seminar says, not the things that somebody says, I have a PhD and therefore listen to me. Not the things of the person who says 50,000 people follow me, so you should listen to me. Because everybody else is listening to me. Grace Presbytery has within it somebody who, when he stands up, I love him as a brother. He is a colleague in ministry, and I say this with true love for him, but every time he stands up, I know whatever he is for, I probably should be against. Because I've watched what's happened. And one of the ways in which he approaches debate, and he shuts debate down when he stands up, is he says, I am a doctor. I have my MD. I am a scientist. And I am saying, this is what is. We stand on anything but the scriptures. Who is Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you believe he is born of a virgin? Do you believe that he suffered and was crucified and died on a cross? Do you believe that he rose physically from the dead? And why he did that? There are people in the church who are calling the atonement theory of what Jesus did, which is theology, by the way, in the confessions of the church. It is an understanding of Scripture. They call it child abuse now, God abusing his child. And if you look at that from a natural point of view, looking around you for the things about Jesus around you now, that makes some sense. But if you start to read the scriptures, you know it doesn't make sense. But you have to be able to know the story. You have to know the things about Jesus in the scriptures that begin in Genesis. Because Jesus is the climax of the story of the whole book. Everything leads to him. And when Jesus tells them that, it is as he explains that, that they come to be able, when he blesses and breaks and gives them the bread, that they are able to recognize him. You cannot separate those two pieces. Jesus does not just show up at the end of the day when they're walking to Emmaus and go, bless, break, give, ta-da, here I am. They go, oh, it's you, Jesus. No, because Jesus needs them to walk a certain way. He needs them to do what? Go back to Jerusalem. Get back on the path. Stop wandering around. Stop doing your thing. Do my thing. And when they go back, they say what? Were not our hearts burning within us? Did we not know holy fire? A taste of holy fire. Just in the moments he was telling us the story. You and I, we live by our own directions. We live in our own little story. All the time. I had an epiphany this week that is a gift. I would say, at least at this point, it is the great gift that Revive Texas has given to me so far. I had a chance to talk with one of the leaders on Thursday. They needed some feedback. There's been some struggles. And at the end of that time of talking, that frank exchange between us where we were both honest with one another. We got up to leave the place we were, Panera Bread out in Cedar Hill. And I'm looking at my watch going, okay, am I going to be on time for da-da-da-da-da? I'm running my list. I'm doing my thing. You got your thing, right? Something ends. What are you doing? What's next? Where do I have to be? Do we have enough milk? Did somebody turn off the hose? I wonder how so-and-so is thinking about such-and-such. Thousand little pieces of lint flying around in your head. And the leader, the guy who leads this, just kind of walked out and stopped in front of this young man who was working there, put his arm around him and said, what can I pray for you? And the young man was clearly vexed. I didn't notice. I was doing my thing. I was going to Emmaus. I had my path. I was walking it and I was doing my thing. He was going to Jerusalem. He was staying there. So I was almost out the door and he goes, hey, Clay, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. What can we pray for you? And he started opening up his heart and we gathered and we prayed. And in that prayer time, just that little time, all of a sudden I realized I wasn't simply in Panera Bread. I was in a place that Jesus was, and Jesus had work to do there. And I was so busy trying to get where I was trying to go, I didn't notice there was work. Because it wasn't my work, I thought. My work was getting back to the office on time, so I wasn't late for X, Y, and Z. And who had that? And whatever piece of lint flew by at the moment. That was my work, I thought. And we looked around, and after we'd prayed for this guy, we both looked up, and I realized we were both looking at the police officer who was in the back. We both went over there, and all of a sudden, I realized this gift that God had given me, that I have exercised in specific places. I exercise it really well inside this place at around 11:30 to 12 on Saturday mornings, four times a year. I exercise it really well at about 11 o'clock at night on Saturdays, four times a year. I exercise it in those 72 hours pretty well almost all the time through that in any space. That gift is actually available all the time everywhere. And it's actually needed all the time everywhere. I didn't know that. I thought it was only available at those points because that's the only place I had ever exercised it. And the reason that was the only place I'd ever exercised it was I was listening to the things about Jesus that I was told and not listening to the things that I knew in the scriptures. And part of the reason I knew it was because in Bible study the night before, it had been demonstrated to me. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not read Isaiah 11:9? Do you not know God's purpose in this world, that the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea? Everywhere, all the time. And from that Thursday afternoon, my life has been a series of frustrations that I cannot put my stinking lists down when I'm in public places to see that Jesus is active. And I realize for the first time how much I am frustrating and grieving him by not being able to do what I'm supposed to do. My purpose to you today is to open up the scriptures to you and to show you the same thing. It that Jesus has shown from the beginning. And you and I, we've gotten comfortable with what we know, with what we know from around us. We don't want to understand what it is that's been given to us. And that's why we wander away to Emmaus every time we leave this place. We come to church and we do the 100-yard dash out. And we say, well, next time I'll come back to Jerusalem for an hour and then I'll go back out again. And the point of this is Jerusalem is supposed to go with you. You are the burning fire. You're the one blessed, broken, and given. I don't know what had happened to that police officer, but he was clearly there being counseled by somebody. Something had happened that was traumatic. If you know any police officers, that is not an unusual occurrence on the average beat. And that was why it was so clear and obvious once I tuned where I was supposed to go. And just as we talked to him, he was almost crying. A police officer in public, a man, kind of put that together in your head, in Texas, almost crying. Do you realize how many people you have left unknowing and unseeing by wandering, focused on your list? How much you have lived in this alien, hostile world defending yourself because you're looking around thinking, what do they think of me? Is my slip showing? Am I okay? Did I put on my lipstick right? Do I have everything correct? Is somebody looking at me funny because I'm doing something funny? Or should I be worried about that? What do I think about? How do I feel about that? And all of that talk is all about you. And all the while, Isaiah's song continues. The earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Does he fill you? Do you know enough to be able to face down those temptations? Do you have a strong enough sense of the glory of God and the song that God speaks and sings that you can continue to sing it when there is something that's going on that's absolutely discordant to it? Do you know it well enough that when you don't have a voice to sing, it still goes on in your head? That when the world takes your breath away, the music does not stop? If you think you're grieving because God has done something terrible to you and there's no justification to it, I will guarantee you, you've never read the book of Job. And if you have read it, you haven't understood it. There needs to be understanding. If you think that you are cynical, struggling inside this world to make sense of anything, and it all seems fruitless and vain, you have never read Ecclesiastes. Or you haven't understood it. We are not the first people to walk this. Why do we act like we are? We are not the first people to confront anything. There's nothing new under the sun. That's Ecclesiastes, by the way. There's nothing new. Somebody's walked through exactly what you're walking through right now. Find them. And the beauty of it is, even if they lived 1,500 years ago, you know what? We got books. They wrote stuff down. It's available to you. Presbyterians have always valued education. We have come to walk away to an Emmaus that says we value degrees. That has nothing to do with education. You can be an uneducated degree holder. You can be stupid and have a PhD. Education is about knowing that I need to learn things. Einstein said the beginning of wisdom, real intelligence is knowing what you do not know. Not knowing what you do know. So what don't you know? I don't know how to deal with the fact that I can't find God in daily life. Where's experiencing God, folks? We got one going. Jane, when is it? Do you remember? When's the class? Do you remember? I don't remember. Jane, does anybody... It's on the sheet. We have an Experiencing God class going on here. Everybody looks at me like I'm crazy. Thursdays, thank you. Go to the Experiencing God class. 6:30. Show up late. I'll send you, and if you need a note from your teacher, I'll provide a note from your teacher. You want to jump in and you want to get on top, there's a place you can do it. You want to know something about the glory and majesty and depth of a relationship with God. Behold Your God is a place you can know that. And you know when that one is. When is that one? 10 o'clock on Wednesday. You can show up then. Instead of doing the 100-yard dash now, you could go to Bible study after this. And I know it's Mother's Day, and I know there's going to be a rush to get to the brunch places. I know that, but food that goes in and out, in you and out to the gutter is not as good as food that goes in you and stays forever. Maybe. Educate yourself. When you're wandering away to Emmaus, turn around. Go back where you're supposed to be. Part of the struggle for each of us is you stay in a church long enough, somebody spits in your coffee. Somebody gets in an argument with you about the color of something. And somebody says something that offends you. Somebody steps on your toes, does something to you. And the easiest thing to do is... take your marbles and go home. Walk away to Emmaus. Wander away over there because, gosh, it's got to be better over there. And it's not. The reality of it is community is always hard. Stay in Jerusalem. Learn something from it. Each of us has an option. Will you be educated? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you things? I don't know about you, but the greatest courses I have ever gone through are the courses that have cost me dearly. I would never wish them on anybody, but I would never trade the lessons that they've taught. Because I have learned who I am in Jesus. And now I have a new lesson in front of me. I'll never walk into a Panera Bread the same. I'll never walk through a place where my list is obvious. I was struggling. I had a long list of things to do. Those of us of the male persuasion, you know, there are things you need to try and get done before today. And I had my list, and I walked into Costco, and Jesus is telling me all the time, are you noticing? You know, but I have a list. I have things I have to do. And I'm struggling with them the whole way, but I know, and someday, some way, that will come clear. That wrestling match will end. He'll throw my hip out of joint one way or the other, and I will find a way to become who he means me to be because he showed me that. He has the same thing for you. Go back to Jerusalem. Get back in class. Learn to love learning. Don't love the degree. The degree is a piece of paper. What is Jesus trying to teach you today? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the fact that you don't leave us where we are. We always have things to learn. Forgive us, Lord, for the way in which we live in this world, just trying to keep doing things the way we've always done them, because that's so comfortable, Lord. It's so nice to think that there's no more learning to do, there's no more growing to do. But as long as there's breath in these bodies, Lord, we are prone to wander, Lord. We feel it. We are prone to leave the God we love, wandering away to wherever Emmaus is. It doesn't really matter, because we're not really wandering to a destination. We're walking away from you. Bless us, Lord, to walk towards you, to learn, to understand why we need to be where you call us to be. Strengthen us, Lord, in that love to be able to understand what it is you're calling us to do. And bless us, Lord, to do it. In Jesus' name.